Father, we just thank you for this holy moment, Lord, that we come in all humility. We come before you. Lord, we come with hearts that are hungry for truth this morning. Lord, whatever we've seen in these weeks, Lord, we pray that you would sift it, Lord, and that we would have understanding from what we've experienced, Lord, as we measure it against your word. Lord, we thank you that there's no substitute for your word. We thank you that we can come and in full surrender, knowing that your word will minister your truth. Lord, that you will be pleasured by our desire to go deep and to really allow your spirit to work in our souls as the word of God is examined. So, Lord, to just lead us now, we thank you for each one that is coming. We pray that you'll keep them safe and that we just give ourselves to you now, lock, stock, and barrel. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have some unfinished business. We didn't get through session 12. I don't know how many of you remember. Do y'all have session? I brought some session 12s in case. Yeah, it's all.
I got an extra one.
It's all good. You have 12? Okay, good. So, we are in a section of James now where James is exhorting us that faith is completed not only by works, but also by words. And so this is where chapter 3 takes us. So let's just read through the fifth verse again, and then we'll pick it up in the study where we left off last time. So one of you read, please, 3, 1 through 5.
My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Excuse me. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we covered last time verses 1 and 2, basically. We spent quite a bit of time on judgment. It's not obviously where James is taking us, but it just seemed that we really need to be cognizant that we are going to be judged by what we say. Okay? And, you know, always keep in mind that we will have, at the judgment day, we'll have full knowledge of all of that we have said that was either right or wrong, that either honored Christ or dishonored him. It's all going to be there. But for those of us, and everybody here, obviously, who are saved, that is only going to serve us in intensifying our love for Christ Jesus.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, because we will see the fullness of his forgiveness in a way that we've never seen it. And I just so believe that. I mean, I can't imagine all the things that I've said, let alone what I've done.
I think even, you know, after I became a Christian for years, the judgment sometimes I made.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we never despair.
No.
It will only serve to intensify our love for our Savior. I just love that. What Satan meant for evil, God turns for good. And so we live in complete hope And this was just, I don't know if I read this last time, but God's perfect love reassures us. His love makes provision so that we are saved, not punished. Grace overcomes the law. We know that we deserve punishment, but intimacy with Jesus affords the fullness of God's forgiveness and grace to abound in us. And God's perfect love casts out the fear of punishment. So, yeah, we really are redeemed people in the deepest sense. You know, if repentance is real, then forgiveness is just as.
Jeff, could you Xerox that or maybe print that up? Maybe on the top
of
the next lesson or.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good morning.
Hey.
A little wet, but we're here.
We made it. Okay, welcome. We're actually back in session 12. Did you bring your... I brought some extras in case you didn't bring.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's why...
I got out of the house as well.
That's all right. It was all what it was. So there you go. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. We were just recapping a little bit about last time that we met because it's been a few weeks. And we were just talking about... we spent some time on judgment, which isn't what James... It's not his primary goal here, but it certainly is part of the process of what he is leading us through. So you want me to just put it in?
Yeah, you know how you put these little things at the top?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was okay. Good and there was no way we could write that down.
Okay.
And it was just said so well.
Okay, I will do that. All right, so that was really verse 1, and then verse 2, we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistake in what he says, interesting, yeah, then he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So the question there is, what does... You know, what is James Azure, the perfect man? I mean, why does he say this? I mean, he's talking about what is said, but then he's saying that he's able to bridle the whole body. So this is takes some consideration.
You know, I think the Holy Spirit really convicts you immediately when you say something that you shouldn't be saying. You know, if you're making a calculation or a judgment or something, I mean, immediately you feel it and your flesh rises up to, you know, defend yourself, you know. I mean, have you ever heard somebody looking and say, well, I'm just being honest? And you're thinking... being unkind, actually. You know? Or, I mean, you say it yourself. Well, I'm just being honest. I love that the Holy Spirit does not let you get away with the things that you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know if I start to gossip, he sure convicts me. Actually, like right before I open my mouth, or as I'm opening my mouth, I'm like...
It's a sure way to know you have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it about speech versus action?
It's an overflow of your thoughts.
Okay.
So that's why I see, you know, the perfect man. I mean, we can't always have the perfect thought, so some of that junk's going to come out. unfortunately. But to me, it's like it's the renewing of the mind that we need to continually be renewing the mind through the Word of God so that those thoughts and stuff enter our brain and come out of our mouth less and less as we mature.
Yeah.
So, at least I think that's what it means for me.
You know what else? It's just what you said about judgment. is that what Satan means for evil, like if you say something you shouldn't be saying and you get convicted, Satan's all happy you said it. And then you repent and you say to the person, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
It brings a fuller relationship or a fuller understanding of God's love and of the walk. You know, so it brings an intensity to the walk.
Yeah.
So even if you do it, say something you shouldn't. God can use it.
You know, this is a really difficult subject because you had mentioned, Tansy, that sometimes being honest when we speak to individuals can also be very, very unkind.
Right.
But there may be some moments within that individual's life.
Oh, yeah.
When people do need to speak into him and say things about him that are truthful, that are actually unkind.
Absolutely.
So, like, how do you draw the line here, you know?
Well, I think, don't you think the Holy Spirit lets you know? If you're just gossiping or if you're saying what needs to be said for the person's discipline.
You know,
encouragement.
I'm sure if the Holy Spirit moved upon Mark or Jeff or Bill to come and speak to me about things that were going on, okay, and they had to be brutally honest, they'd probably be in quite a lot of prayer about that before they come to approach me.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
You know, I'll tell you what. If you come in humility, the Holy Spirit will speak through you.
Right.
That's the key. At least for me it's been.
No, I think you're absolutely correct in that regard.
Because humility looks away from self. You are not going to be putting venom out there.
Right.
That's self-aggrandizing, okay?
Right.
You come in humility, you're not even in sight. You are a mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit who is useful in his hands to speak the truth into somebody's life. And yes, it is hard to do. We've shuddered when we've had to do this.
And we've had to do this. And we don't do it sometimes.
Yeah, I know we don't.
Confrontation's hard.
And that's wrong.
It's not fun.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stakes are very high. Mm-hmm. And we have folks out there right now that we have confronted in love and in humility that the fruit has not yet been seen. And so this is something that is very precious to God's heart when we trust him enough to do that.
And I think even we still need to be expected, if we do step out and do that, that they will get angry and reject or get mad or not speak with you. Because lots of people don't want to hear the truth.
They can't receive it because
and
of the flesh.
Yeah, and it's so important to hear the truth. You know, because that's what sets us free.
Good.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and to move on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it may be a very big loop that is not closed for a year or 2 years or 10 years or, I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, gosh, I remember somebody told me this like years ago and I couldn't, and now I understand what they meant. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Remember, there's no time with God.
Right.
He's outside of time. So, but that's an excellent
question.
But
sometimes we say things so innocently, we don't even realize it, but it convicts the person so much, you know, and it. Sometimes I think we're just not aware of it. I know myself personally. Anyway.
Well, go ahead, finish your thought.
So you're meaning...
I don't know where out of it.
So you mean you say something and it, like...
I said something
has a lot
to my
more
mother.
Effect than you expected?
I said something to my mother.
Oh,
and and she didn't talk to me for 6 months, and I thought it was... I didn't even realize I said anything.
Oh.
I said something to her. It wasn't about the jewelry. It was about the rejection. Literally, I felt like rejection. And from that one statement, she wouldn't speak to me. So I know what I said was absolute truth.
You pushed a button.
I pushed a button, boy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it.
And the enemy knows how to use it.
Yeah. Didn't even realize
then
it.
Then God can bring
she's
good out of it.
She's not a believer. Yeah. Oh, she's talking to me now. I mean, it was 6 months. Mm. Literally 6 months.
Really? Brutal. A brutal period, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's tough. All right, well...
So some people you can't be honest, and I wasn't even honest with her about her. I was honest about me, how I felt. But the truth confronting her that she did something wrong threw her over the edge.
Wow.
So sometimes we are not aware. You know, somebody might not be annoyed at us or mad at us, and we don't know why, and we have said something, and we don't even know what we said. But mm-hmm. because of their past, it pushed a button in their past, mm-hmm. and they were confronted with the truth about themselves, and it convicted them. Yeah.
But we have to trust that yeah. if we are of a renewed mind mm-hmm. and speak in humility, that even that painful thing is still going to honor Christ in a way that we can't understand in the moment. I mean, that really is what we must trust that. Otherwise, we'll live in fear of you know, cracking relationships and destroying things. It all comes back to the renewed mind. I think Mark really nailed yes. it there. I think, mm-hmm. you know, that mind that is receiving Christ in His fullness is going. That mind is going to speak through a tongue that is anointed,
right.
and that, and it may cost us dearly. It may cost, and it did. Six months is a long mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but then you think, you know, a servant isn't greater than his master. It cost Jesus too.
Yes.
The things He said to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, He threw the money handlers out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that was physical.
Yeah.
So. All right, so the perfect man is, James is really leading us in the direction that the perfect man is able to control the overwhelming impulse of the flesh. All right, to discipline that hot surge of sinful passion. To say that which God hates. I think there's a very short connection between the flesh and the tongue. I think it's a very short connection. And that's why, you know, if you bang your thumb with a hammer, oh my gosh, I mean, it's a very short connection. And that's my struggle. There's no time for something to get in there. So, you know, and if a man controls his tongue, really, in the way that we've been speaking here, even if it's a difficult word, then we know that the Holy Spirit controls the man. If a man or a woman controls his or her tongue, then we know the Holy Spirit controls the man, that a renewed mind is speaking. Because what is spoken illuminates decisively who is on the throne of being. Okay? There's that old Billy Graham or four spiritual laws, you know, with the throne, and are you sitting on the throne or is Christ sitting on the throne? And your speech will really reveal that. Who is on the throne of your being? So, you know, works are important, as we saw in chapter 2. Words are important, but I don't know. In my own experience, I'm more likely to sin against God by what I say than by what I do. I mean, that's just my own experience. Because what I do, now what do you think of that? Does anybody agree with that?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because it's like Mark said, it's an overflow of your thoughts. And your brain is going all the time, and there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
You have to get control of that.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's a longer connection between what your heart is saying and what you do. It's got to pass through your brain and then into an arm.
Right.
Instead of, it's longer to the tip of my hand than it is to my tongue. I don't know what it is. The spiritual connections just seem to be shorter. So, but anyway, not to favorites. Okay? So, good, very good discussion on that. Let's move on now. Verses 3 and 4, again, chapter 12 still. What spiritual principle is illustrated by the practical examples presented in these verses? So this is, if we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So,
such a fantastic analogy.
Boy, isn't it really?
I mean, when you think of the overall size of a ship and how small the rudder is, I mean, one of those big things that the people go on cruises with now, and their rudders are not big. To think that that little thing controls. So what we do with our mouth. I have something that I was taught many years ago, and it's a couple of Bible verses together, and it says, every word spoken becomes a living thing to minister or to destroy.
Whoa.
And wow. I think to myself, so everything that comes out of here, you have to be so careful. Everything.
So then the principles that emerges from this is, how would you put that?
Well,
it says, read the, five. Yeah, it says the bit and the bridle, or the bit and the rudder, is the tongue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you control it?
Ducting. No.
We've tried that though, right? Yeah. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So, it's got to be submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting to the Word of God, submitting to the Lord, surrendering.
Yeah.
And then allowing His life to reside in you, mm-hmm. and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak accordingly.
Yeah, that's a good verse. That
yeah.
I'm going to get to.
And back to the other point is, you know, man looks at the outward, but God judges the heart.
Wow.
So if the heart is full of, that's what's going to come forth. That's,
and I think in Proverbs 2 it says to guard your heart.
Yeah.
You know, guard your heart.
Right.
In your heart. Out of your heart come your tongue speaks, so you've got to really guard what's in there. Yeah. Gotta go over it with a fine tooth.
But if your heart
comb.
Is pure, you don't have to guard anything, right? You
right.
can just speak.
Right. But we're not.
But we're not.
I'm sure. Right. I was just gonna say. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting that James mentioned that these strong winds. What do you think? Why do you think he threw that in there?
Isn't that desire?
Yeah. It's that hot passion that where your face gets red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we are
control circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you know, in the world you will have tribulation, so it's going to come. It's just a matter of when. But again, the Holy Spirit is mighty, and He can overwhelm even that. And if our tongue is really speaking from a renewed mind, you will be able to get through it. His promise is that we will be able to survive the test. You know, we're tested again to succeed. We're tested by God that we would pass the test and grow. We're tempted by Satan that we would fail. We're tempted by our own fallen stuff. And, you know, there's a huge difference between being tested and being tempted. I think that's a very important thing to remember. So, all right, verse 5 then. Finish up what we started last time. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. So what word kind of pops out there What do you think the spiritual foundation of an unbridled tongue is?
Rebellious. Unsubmitted, right?
Yeah. And how is that often expressed?
Pride.
Yeah, pride, and the word here that would point directly to that is what?
Boasts.
Yeah. The boasting. What kind of forms of boasting do you see? How do people... What do they boast about? And what's their motive?
To cover up their insecurity.
Oh, that's interesting.
At least everybody that I know that boasts, that's what it is.
Wow.
It comes from a deep sense of not being worthy.
Wow.
And having to hide.
So they boast their accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what they have done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, to try to project people away from what's really going on inside, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just a way of diversion, really.
It's a diversion.
Not having to look at yourself.
Yeah, well, they crave like honor, power, control.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, and you go back to verse 1, and they're talking about don't become teachers. Why do they want to become leaders or teachers?
Right. So they can be puffed up.
Puffed up. Or is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the boasting of the flesh, it really... boasting of great achievements.
Isn't that why they put Jesus to death? Yeah. Out of jealousy.
It's threatening.
Yeah.
He was threatening to them. To their order.
Yeah. But it would, if you boast of what you've accomplished, and maybe the underlying substrate for that is insecurity. Well, what is the real problem with that?
I was just going to say, I think in a way we can't blame a person who's a non-Christian because they don't have Christ. They don't have that person that gave them the abilities and the gifts to even be able to accomplish and do those things. So in a way it's like they're kind of blameless. They don't have anything else to hang their hat on other than to boast about their accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, they're ignorant.
Yeah.
And so then, in a sense, you're right, they're blameless.
But when we meet people, isn't that the first thing we do? We say, what do you do?
Yeah.
Not in Hawaii.
Oh,
I'm just saying that. So
nobody
funny.
Does anything.
No, I know, it's so funny because...
I'm starting to find out.
This was the thing that Caitlin and Aaron said when they came back. They said, it's so funny, it's everybody here asks you what you do. You know, and the same thing in Spain. Nobody asks you what you do. So
maybe it's Connecticut.
I don't know. Caitlin says it's New England.
What question?
What do you do?
For a living.
Yeah,
no,
but
what's
people.
The what do you?
No, people just hang around with you and just talk with you,
and they don't even ask a specific question.
No, she said you can be with people for a long time and not know what they do for a living. She said because it isn't about that.
Oh wow, that's refreshing.
Yeah. So she says it's really interesting.
Yeah.
She said, and it's jarring to come back here, and that's the first question people ask you. Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, sorry if I got you off track.
I really want to just dissect boasting a little bit because I think it is something that happens. And if we're boasting of our great achievements. Let's say we really did something decent, even in the church or something. But if we boast about it, what is the problem?
Jesus says we have our reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I mean, who gets the glory when we boast? It ain't God.
I was trying to think of something we could possibly boast about in the church. I can't think about what. What could we possibly boast about?
Not weed. Yay, we were successful, right?
The overthrow of the knotweed.
We overcame.
I'm sure I'm this week, right?
Yeah. I guess.
We're still trying to figure out where it is. The property.
You'll see it.
We're not sure if it is. That's it.
Are there like several piles of dirt?
Yes.
Back from the road.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a property. Yeah.
And now there's a silk.
Silk fence.
Oh, okay.
Fence. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
In the front or in the back? Why, is there a river in the back?
There's a little intermittent stream that runs.
Oh,
like right at the wood line where it heads up the hill, there's a little intermittent stream that runs back
there.
But I think churches can boast about
here.
You know, like if you talk to somebody in town, it's like, oh yeah, we're the church that does the refreshments at the... That's kind of boasting, isn't it?
Is that boasting or just presenting facts?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I said when we meet people, our conversation is we kind of say, what do you do? So are they boasting about themselves or are we asking?
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's all in the presentation.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I really think if your heart is filled with arrogance, then even if you're going to spin something and if it's filled with humility, you're going to say it in a way that's going to be honoring Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if it's the same words, I don't know. That's a good question there.
Well, because I was thinking when you were saying, you know, to ask somebody, what do you do? Is that a wrong thing to ask somebody what they do?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I ask everybody a lot of questions.
You analyze them.
No, I just want to know. It's
how you start building relationships, I guess, you know, to see if there's some kind of a connection. At least that's the way I look at it. You know, it's like, are we on the same playing field?
Yeah. I mean, it is a great conversation starter.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, go from there. I know on the golf course, that's the place characteristically where you meet people that you don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe by the fourth or fifth hole, you just say, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the... Anything, you're just interested because you're going to spend the next 3 hours with this person. It's nice not to ignore them.
Right, absolutely.
So there's a boasting that points to the flesh, and there is a boasting. Paul somewhere talks about boasting in the Lord. You know, that in the Lord you boast. That means in means connected to. That means what you speak is going to give glory to him and to him alone. You're not even in sight.
He gets the credit.
So you can boast about what you've done. You can also boast in making great promises, you know, which is something that you might hear somebody do. And again, this is all about getting attention. If somebody boasts great things, it's all about me. It's all about, you know, I've arrived. You know, you got to bow down and worship me because I'm going to do this. And you can feel the sickness in it when you hear boasting. That's not, it's not of the Lord. So anyway, boasting is many times the spiritual foundation of an unbridled tongue. It's arrogance. So James goes on to compare this little tongue of ours and its boasting. And he says, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. So it's like a spark to dry brushwood is the tongue that's unbridled. Has anybody seen the great forest fire from a spark of an unbridled tongue in their experience? I mean, is there any example that...
Me, just what I just said with my mother.
With your mom. Yeah, but that was said in truth.
I know, but boy, the results of it.
She couldn't receive it that way.
Okay.
Not at all.
But have the results, have any good results come from that yet?
I don't know. She started speaking with us again.
All of a sudden, one day before my operation, she called me up, okay?
You mean just recently?
Yeah.
Within the last month or so.
Oh.
Because my operation was on December the 17th. And she called me up a few days in advance to speak with me, okay? And she was as pleasant as pie. And I was like totally shocked. Is this the same woman? What's happened here? You know, did she finally find Jesus or something? And then afterwards, Michelle called her back, and she was extremely pleasant to Michelle. Whereas all previous conversations,
she wouldn't pick up the phone.
The previous 6 months was like, if Michelle got on the phone, she was abrupt, she was rude, she'd hang up on her. So,
what did she say when she called for my birthday? She said, "I called you because it's your birthday, but I didn't want to talk to you."
Yeah.
How old's your mom?
82? 80-something.
Is she all there?
Well, we don't think so.
I mean, it just sounds really kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times there's things between people, and like you said, if you say something that out of anger or fear or whatever it is, and it just pushes that button, all of a sudden it becomes this big argument over something that started out over why did you put the pen here when it should have been over there.
Right.
And before you know it, you've got a war, and you're like, well, what happened?
Yeah. I had a teacher in Mass, and she would say, it's not who's right or wrong. It's the reaction you need to deal with. Mm. And when people react to something that's said, then there's a deep root problem, most likely sin, that causes it. Mm. So, but the interesting thing is, I was speaking with somebody about a year prior, and she said to me that you're not very forthcoming and honest with your mother. You need to have a better relationship, because I walk on eggs around my mother because so much sets her off.
Right.
So, and being a Christian is one of them. That is major.
So you're being persecuted for your faith.
I guess so. I've had a hard time with it my whole life.
Well, that's blessed are you. So. Seriously.
Well, no, Michelle's mother's actually come right out and said to her that she doesn't like it when Michelle talks about
I'm
God.
Sometimes she said to me, I said something like, praise the Lord. She got so furious that I would, will you stop talking like that? I can't stand it. You know, you're always talking about God. I'm like, and I'm trying, I never talk about God anymore, but I must have, you know, your church friends used to say things like that, praise God or something like that. And it came out, and she went nuts over that. So, anyway.
Gosh, we'll pray for your mother.
I put her in the basket. I'm sure that's why she called. Between me and the basket, whoever's
the basket
got her
upstairs.
Name.
Yeah, right, right.
We had to put a person in. Yeah. We put her in.
What's her first name?
Rosalie. Do you have her?
You just suffered the consequences. It's funny.
Rosalie. Oh, we should pray for Rosalie. Yeah. Does she live around here?
Stanford. She's in Stanford.
Oh, my God.
I saw her for the first time on New Year's Day. He stayed home and I went. Anyway, you don't want to.
What's her last name?
Liguori.
Liguori?
Liguori. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, let's make that
up. We always wonder what happens to the people we pray for. I pray for this gentleman, Nick. And I always wonder, what's going on with Nick?
You know, I have this thought about that. Mm-hmm. I've had it for years. What if every single person that we prayed for came to faith in Christ?
Wow.
In a way that we can't know. I mean, what if God is almighty, and he is who he is. What if every single person that we prayed for really became a Christian because God honored our heartfelt prayer?
You want to know something, Jeff? I believe that.
I know.
I've really come to believe that in the last couple of years, and I've just decided I'm believing that.
Maybe they'll all be lined up when we go up there.
Yeah.
Do you know, you prayed for me and you prayed for me.
I just believe that's the goodness and mercy of God.
We don't know. Yeah, I mean, what is the end of God's mercy and kindness?
There is no end.
You know? And again, he is outside of time. You know, we have this whole time thing that we are eternal beings. And oh my gosh, do you have to get your mind around that or what? And as the older you get, the easier it is to get your mind around that. But let's not be short in praying for anybody, because we don't know.
You know, there's this, and I don't know who it is, and I should probably spend some time and look it up, but there's somebody who you would all know his name, like a Spurgeon or somebody like that, who had a son who, you know, and he always asked everybody to pray for this son. And he always hoped that he would see that this son would come to know the Lord. And he died and he didn't. And the son came to know the Lord. And now the son is, you would all know his name too. and now I can't remember who it is. I mean, I can't think who it is. I heard the story, and I remember it just gave me so much hope. Because I just thought, we get so disappointed with those people that we're praying for that our heart, you know, our hearts get heavy for them. And but God is faithful. I mean, if we consider ourselves faithful, He's faithful.
Yeah.
And he puts it on our hearts to pray for them. I mean, we're not praying for them because it's fun.
No.
Or because it does anything for us. Because a lot of times if you're praying for somebody that nothing's happening, you get really disheartened. So it's then it becomes obedient.
Yes.
But it's God who's putting it on your heart. It's not your own good idea.
Actually, I find it become a ritual. I have like a couple of pages of stuff. Yeah. I'm like, go through the pages. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It's like ritual.
And he even honors that. I don't know.
He does.
Think he just...
Because it's a discipline.
So, we just never lose hope when we're praying for people, ever. No matter how desperate it looks. All righty. So, thank you for your transparency, Michelle. I appreciate that. Just in my own experience, I think in the office, if something is said that is not well received, it travels like wildfire.
Oh, I can't imagine
in a medical office.
You go through.
I mean, you're all in this place. I mean, hey, we spend 8-9 hours together every single day. It's more, and it's totally. I mean, the patients come and go, but you are. It's amazing to see what happens when somebody, you know, misspeaks, and it just roars through the office like a flame of fire. And as a Christian, and you know, people there know, I just need to be so circumspect.
I can't imagine. I bring up alternative medicine every so often, too, like some of his doctors and things, and they look at us like we are crazy, you know, like if you even suggest like prayer and whatever, and I don't so...
That's why everybody goes to Jeff.
What's your schedule? I'm embarrassed now that I don't know.
Got any openings?
I know, poor Jeff. He never gets out of work.
It's all...
No. Christians are lining up.
No, that, I'll tell you what, that is an incredible privilege.
Yeah.
I mean, even this past week, an 80-year-old lady that I had no clue about, I just knew she was gentle, going through horrible things, and you know, with her family and everything else, and she is a believer. And we had a time of prayer together I will never forget.
Wow.
She's a little Catholic lady. It's about yay tall. And her family is it's a good family, but she just feels like she's a burden, and she's losing all hope and getting depressed, and you know. But she really trusts God, and I just said, oh my gosh, do we have something to talk about here? Yeah, so it's a privilege. Oh my gosh, it's a huge privilege to pray for people. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up, too, Ben Carson. I knew Ben Carson, I mean, I don't know him, but he did surgery on my sister-in-law's niece. She had brain tumor.
And about they 30 years ago?
Yeah,
like
and they told me then that they found this doctor, and he... He prayed. He would pray.
Oh, wow.
And now he's running for president.
Wow.
It's like, really, you know, to me, it's amazing. And I remember listening to him on a Christian show years ago, too, saying something that God would tell him what to do during the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite amazing.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Quite amazing.
Yeah. All righty. So the last question, I think we actually... jumped ahead last time to this, but what fruits of the Spirit are the most precious and powerful in maintaining control of the tongue? What comes to mind?
Self-control.
Self-control. Certainly. That would be a big one. What else? Anything else?
Long-suffering.
What's that?
Long-suffering.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh. Didn't think of that one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm. Any other one?
On the list.
Sorry.
What are you looking for?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, my wife would shoot me for this.
You're always trying to direct a clash into what you think.
wait, I didn't hear that.
What about it?
Okay.
Oh, she listens.
Oh, she doesn't listen to anything.
Oh my gosh.
Well, my son says I always talk about
it. All right. This is an unedited commentary.
I forget we're taped. Yeah.
No, there is one other quality that is really important in keeping the tongue under control.
Love. I'm going through. Love.
Well, yeah, that would be even a better example. I'm looking for humility.
Oh, yeah, again. Humility.
Yeah.
You've been using that a lot, so.
Well,
we didn't pick that up.
I do think humility. That. You know, you show me a man in Christ with authentic humility before God, and I will show you a man who has tamed his tongue. You know, I think, again, there's constantly a view away from self and looking unto God. And I think the Spirit rains down on that person. And what he says is going to be, you know, it's going to be really, really anointed when humility is really there.
Thing I think is, though, you said love, and I've been reading in I think it's in Corinthians, and you know, they said, what is your gift if you don't have love? And I thought to myself, I really don't know how to love. I mean, I really don't know how to love. Not to have God but loves, because I had such a crazy upbringing.
But that's the humility. Is like to say, I don't know how to love.
Yeah.
But Lord, I trust that you can love through me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but... Because he does it through us. But we don't really get how he does it. But you have to admit you don't know how to love. I mean, that's the first place you come
See,
to.
See, I would think like you would say, you know how to love.
No.
Because I know I don't know how to love. I can love my dog. Really well.
Because
we all love our dog. Son when he's back. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Maybe Gary.
But I don't know.
Any other people in that process? Your husband, your son?
It's good.
That's good. I take everything out on you. Sorry, Dana. I'll right. Zip it.
Nah, that's all right. So, all righty. Any other thoughts?
Jeff, I do want to tell you, and I had to go over to Quest Diagnostic this week. And every time I've ever gone to your office, I'm always astonished at the people. I always feel like it's a play. God's put me in a play when I go over there, because the people that come in are... my eyes are popping open. Seriously. Well, this time, I had to sit in the waiting room for a few minutes, and a guy comes in, and he's just kind of brusque, and he has a younger girl woman with him. But he's taken up all the energy in the room, and he comes over, and he says, do you mind if I turn the channel to, because it was on Fox, I guess, and he wanted to turn it to CNN in a room. And turned it, and the girl goes, oh, thank God we got here. And he goes, there is no God. And so she goes, well, no, I mean, you know, there, you know, he said, there is no God. He must have said it three times. I was like, and I don't know whether it was her father or if he was a caretaker, you know, and because as I watched for a little bit, I think she was, she had some deficits. And he was he was bringing her to the doctor.
Oh,
just thought, wow, I wonder if this is Jeff's patient.
Oh my!
You know,
and to have a caregiver like that.
I know, there is no God. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Was the lady really big?
She was short, but stocky, and kind of blondish, a little blondish, and he had like gray hair, longish down to here.
I didn't.
No,
it wasn't
maybe
one
not
of my,
you.
Thankfully.
Anyways, I just thought, wow, I went to the water fountain there, the water cooler, and prayed for you and your whole office. I went, wow. Every time I come in there, you have...
The enemy knows who to send to cause havoc.
Right. See how the tongue can speak death or life, right?
Yeah, before, that was...
Yeah. Right there.
Just one quick comment. One of the things that I kind of concentrate on over the years, especially went through a lot of things with the family when my mom died, my dad died, and the estate and everything, and a lot of hurtful words were spoken. And since then, I try to concentrate on, this thought always goes into my mind. It's like everything that I've ever done to my body's healed up, and, you know, for the most part, it heals up. Okay, broken bones, cuts, that kind of stuff. But when you say hurtful things to people, they never go away. Even in forgiveness, there's still a memory in there, and it's a fight and a struggle. And so, since those days, I've always tried to make it a point to say, you know, do I really need to say this? Because there's times when it's like, nope, I'd rather be quiet and say nothing,
right,
and let God deal with that situation, or than to put some, even though it's truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It might not be the kindest thing to say at the time because that I don't know where that person is.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, I think about that. It's like, what I say could scar that person for the rest of their life and I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
You know, I can slice their skin open and that'll heal up. But the words that I say, they hurt for a long time.
Good final word.
James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Right.
Really.
And the tongue is sharper than a two-edged sword.
All right, well, let's close. Lord, we just know that we are redeemed and that we can have a renewed mind. And we do have a renewed mind when we just simply look to you. So, Lord, we thank you for the power that is in Christ to control our tongues through a renewal of our minds. Lord, we're just so grateful that even when we blow it, we are forgiven. But Lord, help us to take the words that Mark just spoke very seriously. Because as I think Michelle said, words, they have a life of their own. And so as your people who are redeemed, Lord, help us to just be in Christ. It's our only hope to walk in humility, to have the self-control that you yourself demonstrated so awesomely when you walked this earth. Lord, help us to speak the truth in love and trust that you will use even something that is uncomfortable for the person. If it comes from a heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit, and a tongue that is under the guidance of that Spirit, Lord, then it will work, which you have set it forth to do. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we thank you for this time, and we just pray now for your Spirit to abound in our fellowship, that the lights would be bright, and that there would be great revelations in the Holy Spirit today as Michael preaches and as the worship goes forward. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.